How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Thunder on September 20th. The podcast is back. That's a new voice you're hearing, I know. My name is Carson Cunningham. I'm not Fred Katz. Fred will be joining us on the show later in the podcast to kind of discuss his new venture, why he's decided to move on from Locked On, and we'll also talk some Thunder, of course. We got Kevin Durant's latest Twitter beef, Twitter saga, whatever you want to call it. And Russell Westbrook, of course, has not signed a contract. We'll discuss that with Fred and much more. But first, I kind of wanted to introduce myself. If you're not familiar, you can follow me on Twitter at KOCO Carson. I'm a local sportscaster at KOCO TV in Oklahoma City, which is the ABC affiliate. I've been in Oklahoma City my entire professional media career. I started in Oklahoma City Television. My first year, actually, was the first season of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I've covered Russell Westbrook since he was a rookie. And let me tell you what, he has not changed one iota. The grumpy guy in the locker room sometimes, he was like that as a rookie especially. So it's been fun covering this Thunder franchise. You know, they were so young and just naive their first season, and we obviously watched them grow and become a juggernaut. And it's been kind of fun to see them become a national brand. I assume some of you listeners are not from Oklahoma. You're just Thunder fans. And believe me, the podcast will roll on with me this season. I'm going to do my best to kind of fill the shoes of Fred Katz. And I'm really excited. This is a cool venture. I really want to thank David Locke for inviting me to be the host this season. And man, what a fun season it's going to be. The Thunder are great again, folks. Getting Paul George alongside Russell Westbrook is going to be absolutely amazing. Russell finally has, you know, some bullets in his chamber, so to speak, to kind of, you know, attempt to battle the Warriors. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But my first episode here, I wanted to kind of have Fred Katz on to pass the torch, explain why he's leaving Locked On, and just kind of get into some Thunder-related items. And Fred's been super cool, super nice. I reached out to him for some advice on how to do the podcast, and he was so cool about it and very complimentary. And I do have big shoes to fill. Fred was a workaholic, man. He traveled and still churned out this podcast, which traveling is not easy covering an NBA basketball team. The travel never stops. The work never stops for his job with the Norman Transcript. So it can be hard to kind of keep the podcast going, but Fred did an unbelievable job churning it out. And I have big shoes to fill to try and keep up his work regimen and just how good he did with the podcast. So without further ado, let's get to Fred Katz and catch up with him. Joining me right now is the predecessor to Locked On Thunder, Mr. Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript. Fred, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm guesting on Locked On Thunder. This is so weird to me.
Isn't this like the Twilight Zone?
It is. It's a weird thing.
Well, I feel it's important to have you on my first show because it's kind of like sitting your kids down to kind of explain to them, you know, there's a divorce in the family, we're moving on, and just explain to the listener why you decided to give it up and your exciting new venture you're taking on.
Yeah, so I'm doing another podcast with a few other guys, which I couldn't say at the time when I left Locked On, but I'm doing it with John Hamm, who's people who follow me on Twitter and listen to the podcast probably know John because John's been on Locked On Thunder like literally over 20 times. Andrew Schlecht, who's been on Locked On Thunder a gazillion times also. And we're having Royce Young is probably going to be a guest on there a decent amount too because we're all good buddies. And we're calling it the OKC Dream Team because we're cocky as hell. And we think it's going to be really fun. It's $4 to subscribe a month. And we think it's just going to be – it's just kind of a different model. It's a new thing to try. It's a new thing to go into. Locked On was awesome. Like I spoke to you before you did it, and I like David's the best, and doing Locked On was like an amazing experience. But I think it was time to just kind of, we wanted to see what we could do with this, and we were excited to see what we could do. And I figured, you know, why not? Let's see if we can like do something really special here.
Yeah, for sure. That's exciting. And there's plenty of – that's what's really cool about, like, the Thunder podcast scene is, like, everyone's supportive. Everyone goes on each other's shows. And there's plenty of Thunder talk to go around. So I'm excited to listen to you guys as well. And if you ever need a Christian Laettner, just let me know. I can join the Dream Team too.
Yeah. Well, there's so many good Thunder podcasts. Like, there are a lot of good – for one of the smallest markets in the NBA, you wouldn't think there are a lot of good podcasts, but there are actually a lot of good Thunder podcasts.
Well, there's such a desire for it, right? I mean, the Thunder have been, ever since they've come to Oklahoma City, have been one of the best teams in the league, and I'm two of the biggest stars with Kevin and Russ. So there's a lot of fans, not just in Oklahoma, but elsewhere. But I did need to ask you, Fred, do I need to keep this Josh Huestis feud going in your absence? I missed how this all started. Can you please explain it to me and then just if I need to keep it going or not?
It started because Josh is an ass. That's how it started. and that's just how people, who are asses act, I guess. He might come after you, to be honest. Like he might. There are two possibilities here because he's going to react strongly, no matter what. So there are two possibilities. You either are following me up, and it's like this weird Pavlovian thing where he's seeing me be associated with Locked On Thunder, and thus whoever is associated with Locked On Thunder after me automatically gets hated because he's just subconsciously treated himself. He's like subconsciously trained himself to hate whoever's associated with Locked On Thunder. Or he looks at you and thinks, oh my God, look at you. You're not Fred. And he just loves you.
Well, he should like me because I've been arguing for this guy to play since he got there. I mean, he's shown more in two games than Kyle Singler's shown in his entire Thunder career. So maybe he'll like me. I don't know. I've always been a proponent.
I agree. I think it's like one of the weirdest. It's not like amongst like the most important weird Thunder things. It's not number one, but it's definitely one of like if you're just taking out the actual importance and just thinking what's like genuinely weird. I mean, it is important because he's a first round pick and I think there's a possibility he can contribute in some capacity. But like it's just one of the weirdest things that he's played like seven games since they drafted him 3 years ago. Like, it is so weird. He was a first-round pick, like, and he's a top-three athlete in the team. Like, give the dude a shot and see what happens. It is weird. It's extremely weird.
And he's a company man. He took one for the team, went to the D-League right away, took that odd, like, you know, local stash deal, essentially. So, yeah, it's bizarre. But what year are you now with the Norman transcript?
This is third season, second full season. I came in like, the end of the year. End of the season 2016, April 2016. So I consider that like, you know, like when a rookie is a September call up and it doesn't necessarily count towards his rookie eligibility and then he plays the next year and it's still his rookie year, even though like under like basketball rules, it would really be his second year and not his first. I'm considering it under baseball years, not so. So it's really my second year. If we're talking about when I'm arbitration eligible, it's my second year.
So are you a native Oklahoman now? Are you still a New Yorker?
I don't even have an Oklahoma ID, so I don't think I can claim it. Like, I still have my New York ID.
Yeah, you're New York for life. Who are we kidding? But we might get you to say y'all every now and then.
Exactly. If I'm eating it like the ranch, though, I'm an Oklahoman because I never want to leave that place.
So you caught the end of the Kevin Durant era in Oklahoma City. He's made the headlines again for another just ridiculous story about Twitter and, you know, alter egos. Just this guy is just uber sensitive, is he not, Fred?
He does seem thin-skinned, right? Like, honestly, you know, I realized that Kevin Durant was the one insulting just about everyone with the Thunder, Billy Donovan, and the organization, and his former teammates with those comments. But for some reason, like, I feel bad for him. Like, that was my reaction to this whole thing. Like, I feel bad for him. I feel bad that a guy was given the opportunity to be a free agent. He was given the opportunity to go sign with whomever he wants, signed with the team he liked, and you know, people talk about how he's riding coattails. And, like, I understand that with the decision, like, obviously – that was not the most difficult basketball situation he possibly could have gone to. If he wanted, you know, he said he went there because he wanted a challenge. I don't necessarily buy that. If, you know, you want a challenge, you sign with the Orlando Magic. That's what the challenge is. You know, you want a challenge, you do something like that. You don't go sign with the team that won 73. I don't think anybody bought that, but I didn't have a problem like ethically with him going to sign there. That's totally cool. If that's what he wants, like if that's what's going to make him happy, then I would only have a problem ethically if he didn't go sign there. So that's totally fine. But it's amazing that like he makes the decision of where he wants to go and has this incredible year amidst the team having an incredible year. I think proves to be the team's best player. Like I would say he's definitively the second best player in the world behind LeBron. Ends up just, you know, people talk about how they didn't need him in the playoffs. And I think narratively that's true. And like, I think you can argue they would have won even without him, depending on what they did the rest of last offseason. But like, he was the best player in the finals. He was unbelievable in the finals. He was easily Golden State's best player during that series and just showed off and finals MVP and did everything he wants. And like, it's sad that that guy seems a little thin-skinned. Like, I feel bad for him that he like kind of got everything he wants. He should be content with his positioning, you know? He should be, and it doesn't seem like he's quite there. Maybe I'm playing armchair psychologist too much. Like, maybe that's not fair, but that was kind of my immediate reaction. I was just like, oh man, I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for him, but I do think it's shocking that he just did. It's almost like he didn't see this kind of backlash coming by joining a 73-win team that, man, I mean, people forget Kevin played so bad in the Western Conference Finals. I know he scored a lot of points, but on terrible efficiency. Just, it's almost as if he didn't see the backlash for joining a juggernaut team like he did coming, and he was almost taken aback by it, and he's been recovering ever since, it feels like. But it was just, it was embarrassing. He at least semi-owned it. He didn't come out and say, yeah, I created a burner account, but he also didn't say he was hacked. So he, to his credit, he came out and apologized to Billy Donovan and the Thunder, and I thought he handled that pretty well. He owned that better. If he just would have owned his decision to join the Warriors and said, look, guys, this is going to be so much fun. We're going to destroy everybody. This is a fun basketball thing. I know it looks, you know, like I'm joining my rival, but I don't care. I want to win. We're going to win all the rings. If he had just come out and said that instead of like, oh, this is the hard road. This is my evolution as a man, you know, all that nonsense. If he just would have owned it like he did the apology, I thought he would have done himself a lot more favors.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Thunder fans still would have hated him. I think the cupcake stuff still would have happened. I think the Russell Westbrook, you know, I don't want to call it a rivalry. The him versus Russell Westbrook, you know, storyline still would have been pushed and all that stuff. I think that still would have happened. But like, you're right. Like it would have progressed differently. Like the 2016-17 season, I don't know if that would have been much different. But like the 2017-18 season might have been. Like LeBron kind of owned it when he went to Miami, and people hated LeBron for like 2 or 3 years. And then that dissipated. Like, it just kind of stopped. Like, people don't really hate LeBron anymore. And that's in part because he went back to Cleveland. But it's also in part because of kind of the things he said and the way he handled it. And he talked about Miami a little bit differently than Durant has talked about the Warriors. And that a lot of stuff that he said is just, it's reached back to Oklahoma City. And like, something I wrote about for this morning's paper is just how it's difficult for a fan base specifically. And even the players there and the organization, because like, I don't care what they say publicly. Like, I don't care what that organization says publicly. Come on, they felt it when Kevin Durant left. And everything that you hear privately says that they felt it when Kevin Durant left. Of course, how in the world could you not feel it when Kevin Durant leaves? So it's just, I think it would be easier for those parties to heal if it just weren't still being talked about. But it's weird. It's weird that this is a storyline 15 months after it happened. Like, it shouldn't be this much of a storyline today as it is.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think it'll go away too this season, Fred, because this season's going to be incredible with Paul George. I mean, it really didn't kind of dawn on me almost. I mean, it had, but not fully until I saw Paul George in a Thunder uniform. I kind of saw him and was like, oh, the Thunder are going to be great again. This is going to be a lot of fun. Just, I mean, are you fired up for this season and just how good the Thunder are going to be now that they have Paul George?
I think they're going to be really good. Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty consistently picking them for fourth in the West, but I wouldn't be surprised if they finish top three. I think it's possible, certainly possible, they can end up with a better record than San Antonio. And it's, you know what, it's possible they can end up with a better record than Houston too. I think Houston's going to end up being a little bit better, but I think both those teams are going to have win totals into the 50s. And San Antonio as well, and obviously Golden State. Like, top four in the West is going to be really good. And the Thunder, especially defensively, I think, just have so much talent. And the roster just – last year's roster didn't really make sense, you know? Like, it wasn't as much the talent as it was that the roster didn't make sense. Like, Andre Robertson is a talented complementary role player on the right team. He just didn't make a lot of sense on that roster. You know, certain guys on that team can help in different contexts, but the context there was kind of all off, you know? Like, Victor Oladipo wasn't a very good fit. Steven Adams didn't really work offensively on a team that didn't have spacing, and the second unit had its problems and all that stuff. And this year, it just kind of makes sense. They've got these switchy defenders that can work. They have the ability to also go big with Kanter and Adams still in the moments where they really want to, although I anticipate that's going to happen a little bit less than it has in the past couple of years, even though there are still some teams where they're going to be able to go big against, and I think they're going to be able to kind of punch those teams in the mouth. But, like, they have the versatility. They have a roster. It's a lot more cohesive. They don't have a lot of shooting, but they certainly have more shooting than they did last year when they were last in the NBA in three-point shooting. So I think they're going to be – I think they're going to win 50-plus, and they're going to be one of the five or six best teams in the NBA.
I'm prepared to make Locked On listeners rich in my very first podcast, Fred. You want to get rich? Bet the over 51.5 Vegas has for the Thunder, because I think they will win at minimum 55, 56 games.
Oh, so you're a little bit higher on them than I am. I picked them at 52. I mean, they could win. They could definitely win 55. I picked them at 52 just because I think the first, like, month or month and a half of the season, there's going to be a learning period with Russ and Paul George, and then I think they're going to pick up after that.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, Vegas isn't dumb, so you're closer to Vegas than I am. I just think the star power with Russ and Paul George is just going to be too much for teams to handle. And you know, additions like Patrick Patterson, I think, will prove invaluable. So it's – but you're right. It is basketball. It's not just roll the ball out there and they'll kick ass. You know, you got to learn how to play together. So I do agree with you there. One last thing before I let you go, Fred. Should Thunder fans be worried about Russell not signing?
Yeah. They should. I mean, he hasn't. It's been almost 3 months and that he's been able to sign the extension. He hasn't done it. So yeah. I mean, I think if you want to be pessimistic about that, that's a pretty reasonable stance at this point. I know the organization is not thinking like, oh, he's definitely not re-signing. That's not the mentality within the organization. Whether he signs the extension or whether it's because he signs next year, I mean, there are legitimate reasons for him not to sign the extension, even though it's the same deal money-wise that he'd get next summer. Like, if he wants a no-trade clause, he can't get that in the extension, but he can get that next summer. So that's a reasonable thing. But, like, the thing that I talk about that Locked On listeners will know if you listen to me when I hosted Locked On and you're listening to this now, like, you know I talk about it all the time. Russell Westbrook is the most private superstar in the NBA. The reason that, like, stuff with Paul George going to L.A. leaks or stuff with LeBron going to L.A. leaks and that kind of stuff gets out is because either LeBron is talking or somebody who knows LeBron is talking and that stuff gets out. But Russell doesn't tell anybody anything except for, like, his wife and his brother and his parents, and his wife and his brother and his parents ain't talking to nobody. So, like, that's, like, it's just not a thing that gets out what Russell is thinking. So unless you're a mind reader, it's just really hard. It's really, really hard to report on that stuff. And it's why we've just heard nothing about what Russell is thinking about his future or even his present so far this summer, other than, like, stuff on his book.
Yeah. Fashion's about all we got out of Russ this summer.
Yeah, but, I mean, so much fashion from Russ this
summer. All the fashion. Fashion Week in New York and the whole deal. But, I mean, training camp does start next week. So if he doesn't sign, you know, within the first week of training camp, I would assume he's not going to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's only
he only has till what, like mid-October?
Yeah, October 16th to do it. I mean, I'm curious to see how he's going to answer it, because he's going to have to field questions on media day, which is on Monday, the 25th. So he's certainly going to be fielding questions about that extension, and I don't know how he's going to answer it. I don't know if he's going to give a straight up answer. I don't know if he's just going to kind of give, like, a typical evasive one where he's going to say, I'm just here to talk about basketball. I just want to think about basketball right now. It's a good day to start the season. I'm excited for it, and I don't need to talk about or think about or whatever it is, the extension. I don't know if he's going to start doing what he did at Media Day at All-Star with KD, if he starts fielding them enough times in a row, where he's just going to like start answering with like nonsensical answers just to get people to stop. Like when he did the Fashion Week thing, mm-hmm. like I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to say like, look, I'm not talking about the extension. I'll answer one question on it. And after that, if you ask me another question about it, the rest of the off season or the rest of the season, I'm not answering it, which is also possible because he did that with KD for a little bit. So I don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm like super intrigued to see how he answers those questions.
He might just say, no more questions for you, bro, just like he did a few years ago.
That's one of his best. That's one of his best answers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, hey, Fred, I appreciate you kind of passing the torch. I appreciate you like reaching out to me and letting me know about Locked On and just the positives and negatives before I took it on. You didn't have to do that. I'm grateful you did, and I'm thankful you came on the first show. Let us know, let the listeners know how to follow you on, I guess you're at Fred Katz. They know that on Twitter, but just how do they follow your new podcast and subscribe?
Yeah, so you can go on Patreon.com, patreon.com/OKC Dream Team, and it's $4 a month. We're doing it weekly. Once we get up to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to be putting out some more content as well. So you're not signing up just for the podcast. You're going to get additional content from us as well. And it's me, John Hamm, Andrew Schlecht, and Royce is going to be guesting on the podcast a decent amount too. So I think it's going to be really fun. And also, Carson, what I do want to say is I'm very excited you're doing Locked On Thunder. Like I was when I left, I really wanted the show to be in good hands, and I know we've been buddies for a little while, getting our like late night po' boys in Houston during the playoffs and even before that. So I'm excited that the show is still going to be in good hands, and I'm happy that like Locked On is still going to be just as good as it was before, because I'm still excited about like what's going to happen with the Locked On Podcast Network. Like I really believe in this model that David has set up, and I really believe in what's going to happen. Like this is really only the second year of it. It's already pretty successful. And I mean, you know, now like this show gets a lot of listeners, a lot of people listening to the show, and I guess enjoyed this show when I was doing it. So, I'm excited that like the show is still going to still be, it's going to be as good as it was before, which is very nice to see. You don't want to like, when you walk away from a project you really like, you don't want that project to die, you know? Like, I wanted it to keep breathing, and I'm glad that it's, like, going to healthily keep breathing.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. That was very, very kind of you, and we'll catch up with you later on in the season. How about that? We can't totally forget about you, even though you got a new dream team.
I'm always available.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Fred. I appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, man.
Once again, I just want to thank Fred for all of his help in taking over the Locked On podcast. Just a great dude, and, you know, he did mention we had po' boys in Houston playoffs together. It was a late night covering the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it's kind of one big family, the Thunder media that follows the team and covers them. So it was really, really cool of Fred to join the podcast and catch up with him. And I'm excited to hear his new venture. And I'm also excited to be back with you guys on Locked On Thunder. It's going to be a great season. Once again, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast here locally, you can send me an email at CarsonLockedOn@gmail.com. That's how you contact me to sponsor the podcast. Again, 18 to 44 is the demographic. A lot of male listeners, so if that's something you might be interested in, shoot me an email. And once again, it's a new season. It's a new Locked On Thunder podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham. You can follow me at KOCOCarson. Please like, subscribe on Audio Boom, iTunes, 5-star reviews only, and we'll catch up with you. Hopefully later this week. If not, we'll see you on Monday.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.